Out of nowhere, randomly one day as we're watching the game, my father, who adopted us, said, it's time for you to go find your parents. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, you could grow up one day and marry your cousin and you would never know it. I said, what? You're crazy. And he said, and another thing, while I was watching the Steve Harvey show in the barbershop every day, the Lord told me that Steve Harvey was going to help you find your parents. I said, you've lost your mind. I got up and I walked out of the house.
Welcome to Along the Way. I'm John Matarazzo, your host and fellow traveler. Thank you for joining me along my way as I try to become more like Jesus every day. For this episode of Along the Way, I'm joined by Sam Collier, who I recently had on my TV show, Hope Today. We connected immediately, and he was excited to share his journey on this show, too. You're going to enjoy our conversation and how when Sam's story connected to God's story, it became a greater story. I'll get to that conversation in just a moment, but as always, I want to thank you for listening to Along the Way. I hope that you like what you hear and you subscribe. You can connect with me online as well. All of my socials and contact links are in the show notes. And you can check out all of my episodes at my updated new website, alongtheway.media. I've organized my episodes by themes and types. There's an easy way to join my email list and find out more about me too. I hope that you check it out and let me know what you think. I would love to hear from you. I also have a Patreon page if you want to help me to continue to put out these Along the Way episodes. If you'd like to become a Patreon of mine, simply go to patreon.com/alongtheway and select the level that you would like to partner with. The link for that is also in the show notes. This episode is sponsored by Crave Frozen Desserts, which is by far my favorite ice cream. Andy Gavain has been a good friend of mine for many years, and he seriously makes some of the best stuff out there. I recommend all his flavors, and if you're in the Pittsburgh area, then you are in luck. Crave Frozen Desserts is open from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and they are located at 751 Pittsburgh McKeesport Boulevard, Dravosburg, PA, 15034. I'll put a link to their Facebook page in the show notes, and tell them that you heard about them from Along the Way. Along the Way is also honored to be part of the Charisma Podcast Network. You can find tons of Spirit-filled content from their over 100 podcasts. Go to cpnshows.com to see the full list and latest episodes. I'm also doing one of the Monday through Friday news stories for the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. There are new episodes of Charisma News Monday through Friday. And now, here's my Along the Way conversation with Sam Collier. Sam Collier, it's great to have you on Along the Way. It was a privilege and honor to have you on my show, Hope Today, which I'll be providing a link to that episode in the show notes. But Sam, your story was phenomenal whenever you shared that, and just to see what God has done in your life and that your book is coming out. We'll cover that details in just a little bit, but your book is called A Greater Story, and God has given you a greater story, and I want to be able to share that with this audience here for Along the Way. So Sam, welcome to Along the Way. Let me hear your journey.
John, it is just an honor to be here. Again, we talked about Hope Today, and what an incredible show you're producing, bro. And just to come off the heels of that and to connect like we did and to be here, I'm just, you know, I'm privileged. I think that's what I'm trying to say, bro. You know, man, long story short, 6 years ago, I was on the Steve Harvey show and I met my biological family for the first time. Leading up to that was a story of extreme poverty and obstacles. My mother was 21 when she had me and my twin sister. She had three kids already. So that's five kids age 21. And extreme poverty. Our dad had left the picture. He was addicted to drugs. And I think I shared this with you maybe offline. We lost him a couple months ago to COVID-19, biological father.
So sorry, brother.
It's okay, bro. I appreciate you. He was in New York when New York was, you know, kind of the hotbed of COVID-19. And had in the hospital, had diabetes, and was actually left the hospital to go and get some drugs and ended up contracting COVID-19 while he was out. And we lost him. But it was just an example of kind of who he had become. I heard from his brother, my uncle, who I'm getting to know now, that he was a good man. He just, you know, the substances got a hold of him and, you know, he couldn't let go of it. So he left the picture when my mother had us and maybe a little bit before. So here she is in the hospital having to make a decision. Do I give them up for adoption or do I raise them in poverty? And she gives us up for adoption. I call it the Moses story. She sends us up the river in hopes that things will work out. Now, don't get too sad, because we got adopted by a lovely couple, middle-class Black family, who had met in Washington, D.C., probably about a year before they came to adopt us. My mother was in the laundromat at 3 p.m. on a Sunday. My dad was in, and I'm talking about my adoptive parents.
Sure.
My dad was in the laundromat at the same time. For some reason, he went on a Sunday. He usually goes on a Saturday, but on this day, he went on a Sunday. Yeah. And my mother was actually there, because the night before, she had been hit in the head with a hammer by her husband at the time.
Oh my gosh.
Who was extremely abusive. And so she was in the laundromat because she was getting ready to go kill him, because she was trying to figure out any way to get out of this marriage that would have eventually killed her.
Wow.
And so she's in the laundromat searching for an alibi. So if anybody wanted to know where she was there. She runs into my father, who is in the middle of his second divorce. She obviously is getting ready to go through her first divorce, and they meet. She doesn't go and kill her ex-husband. They walk out of the laundromat. They start dating, go through with their divorces. They give their life to Christ for the first time. Mm. They realized, you know, we had done it our way long enough. And after they give their life to Christ, they get married. After they get married, they start doing what married people do. And they realize that my mom can't have kids, right? Uh-huh. And so she always wanted to have kids. So she looks at my dad and she says, hey, you know, can we adopt? And he said, sure, but we got to get them from birth. So they left Washington, D.C., came down to Augusta, Georgia, to the adoption agency in which we were staying 2 months after we had been given up for adoption by our biological mother. They walk over to our crib. They tell the lady who's running the home, we want them. The lady that's running the home says, no, you don't want them. They're probably not going to be much because of where they come from. Crack, wow. Addiction, poverty. And here's what she said. In fact, they're probably going to be mentally challenged.
Mm.
And so my parents take a step back and they form what I call a prayer closet. I think you know about the prayer closet.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and they pray to God, what would you have us do? Give us insight. And God tells them, no, they're going to be okay. These are your kids. They look back at the lady, say, no, we want them. And they take us home 3 months later. And I don't usually share this much detail, but when they bring us home, Channel 2 Action News, which is in Atlanta, comes out to the house because they bring us home the week of Christmas, a couple of days before Christmas, and it becomes a Christmas story. And they say, Christmas miracle, twins have been rescued. And that begins our childhood. We get raised middle class, Black family, didn't have everything that we wanted, but we had everything that we needed. Christian home. I grew up on the streets of Auburn Avenue, across the street from the Martin Luther King Jr. Center, where MLK and Coretta Scott King's tombs sit above ground.
Mm.
And so I grew up seeing Black excellence everywhere. We know we just lost John Lewis. I have picture of me sitting on John Lewis's lap as my father is cutting his hair in the barbershop that he had.
No way.
I know, bro. It's insane. Long story short, bro, my sister grows up and gets all A's from kindergarten up to 12th grade. Becomes an industrial engineer, dual scholarship to Spelman and Georgia Tech. And I end up with John, right? And Hope Today, and this incredible podcast that you have, bro. And I go on to start a television show and radio, and I've been able to speak at some of the largest ministries and churches around our world. Just told this story to Hillsong Australia a couple of weeks back. And man, God just took a mess and turned into a miracle. Shortly after that, bro, around age 24, my father, who adopted us, said, it's time for you to go find your parents. Out of nowhere, randomly one day as we're watching the game, he said, well, and I was like, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, you could grow up one day and marry your cousin and you would never know it. I said, what? Yeah. You're crazy. And he said, and another thing, while I was watching the Steve Harvey show in the barbershop every day, the Lord told me that Steve Harvey was going to help you find your parents. I said, you've lost your mind. I got up and I walked out of the house.
I mean, that's a crazy word to receive. Like, go, your kids need to find their biological mom, and that guy on TV is going to help them that you have no connection to? I mean, that's either God or crazy right there.
Bro, I thought it was crazy. I was like, you've lost your mind again. You're back at it. And I walked out, bro. And I found out that 2 weeks later, he convinced my sister to write into the show. And I said, why did you do that? Because she didn't even, I'm like, you don't even want to do. She said, well, you know, Steve's not going to write us back. Oh, Ellen's not writing you back. Oprah's not writing you back. A year goes by, my phone rings. It's my sister. I said, hello? She said, the Steve Harvey Show just called me. They're going to call you. Bye. And hangs up the phone. said, my phone rings again. It's a Chicago number. I answer it. It was Dorothy from the Steve Harvey Show, the producer of the, kind of similar to what you are at Hope Today. Yep. It was you. You called me, right? And Dorothy says, I got 100 stories on my desk. Yours was the top story. We think we can help you find your biological family. Do you want to do it? I said, let me call you back. I called my sister. I said, do you want to do it? She said, no, but I feel like we have to. This is the Lord. This doesn't just happen. And so we ended up doing it. And when we went up there, Dorothy told us, we're so sorry we didn't find anyone, but we want to bring you on the show to make a plea that maybe your parents would show up. We went to commercial break after the first segment. And after the commercial, Steve comes back and says, hey, I know I told you this, but we're just kidding. Your biological mother is here. Eleanor, come on out. Bro, and on national television, I met my biological mother. And then Steve says, and your siblings are here too, and they walk out. That's the story, bro.
That is a powerful story. I mean, God spoke to your adopted father, your representation of who God is. God spoke to him and said that God's going to use Steve Harvey, who has a national TV show, to restore what was taken from you. God's just put on my heart the power of words, the power of prophetic decrees.
Yeah.
And the first thing that was told about you in this story was that nurse that said, they're not going to amount to much. You don't want them.
Yeah.
But God has a different story. He has a greater story.
Yeah.
And so that word that was spoken, that was a lie from the enemy. And your parents did not believe that lie from the enemy.
Wow, bro.
And they said, no, these are our kids. And they raised you and they saw God's plan for your life. That is so, so cool. And then that word that your dad got about Steve Harvey helping you find your birth mother. I mean, talk about things coming full circle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy. That doesn't happen. So God definitely does have a greater story for you. And the message that you shared at Hillsong, I got to see the video of that. And I'm going to put a link for that in the show notes as well.
Because
you got to see this. This clip from the Steve Harvey Show. I mean, Sam, you're a bit of a mess in this. It's emotional. Mm-hmm. I was a mess watching it. So I can't even imagine what you were going through at that moment.
Yeah.
But you became a pastor, a preacher, a musician, an artist. I mean, God has gifted you to take your story in a different direction than what was destined. God messed up that destiny and gave you his destiny. Just tell me about what God has done in your life because you're now sharing that story, because God has rearranged your path?
Yeah, bro. And it's one of the reasons why we wrote the book, because God started doing all types of things. And we started seeing that the story was giving people hope in a greater way.
Yeah.
I mean, there were moms and dads that brought me their adopted kids and said, you know, if God can do that with your story, he can do that in my son. He can do that in my daughter. He can do that with us. People bringing me just their life situations going, what your story has taught me is that it doesn't matter how dark my situation is. If I let God in, he can do it. What your story has taught me is that it doesn't matter how hard life gets, if the Lord is with me, I can make it through because I am with the creator of the elements. And we wrote the book for that reason. That's why I want people to get it, because we put so many keys in there about how you can overcome. To answer the question directly, bro, God just started a movement. I had a moment to reconnect with Steve Harvey about a month ago. And I talked to him about the book on Zoom during COVID-19. I said, Steve, I'm telling this story to churches all around the world because of what happened on your show, and people are being blessed. I told him, I said, your face is in churches all around the world. And he said, what? You know, Steve, you know, he's like,
oh, yeah,
man, I appreciate that. And it's just been a blessing. I said, there is a movement, and we've been able to help people all around the country, man, unlock the destiny that God has for them and receive hope in moments where they felt like all hope was lost. And I think that that's where a lot of people are right now.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of COVID-19, you know, I call it the liberation of Black and brown people around the world, right? I mean, God is just, he's present. And I think people need to know that. They need to know that no matter how crazy their circumstances are around them, that God can write a greater story and wants to if they let him in.
Absolutely. You just said that the best way possible, if we let him in.
Yeah.
You know, Sam, you grew up in a Christian family. And I love the story about how your parents met and how they decided after things didn't work out on their own that they were going to do things God's way. And so you got the chance to grow up in a Christian family, but just because you grew up in a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you grew up in a Christian family doesn't mean that everything is good for you. You had to make a decision for yourself that you were going to live for Jesus, that Jesus is going to become the Lord of your life and the forgiver of your past and leader of your future. How did that happen in your life?
Wow, bro. Honestly, I hit rock bottom. I often talk to people about the worst question you can ask God is to use you. It's the best question, but it's also the worst question because then he does. The best question and worst question is, God, do something great with my life. And I think that my parents were praying that, and so it impacted me. My parents would get up every morning at 5 a.m. and they would pray that God would lead us, would guide us, would help us, would protect us, would correct us. And that's what the Lord started to do, man. And he allowed me to go my own way long enough until I almost destroyed myself. And it was around age 16 that I gave my life to Christ because I had been suspended from school for 30 days.
Whoa.
And I was living two lifestyles. It's in the book. I tell the whole story. It gets really gory. But, you know, this lust thing caught up with me and I got caught almost doing some things. And again, I'll let the book, you can read it for the gory details. But I got suspended, man. And my sin had caught up with me and it began to destroy me. And there I was faced with a decision those first 3 days into suspension as I sat there across the table from my dad and mom. And my dad looked at me and said, at this point, we've taught you everything we could teach you is on you. You know right from wrong. You know good from bad. And you know what to do. And you get somebody pregnant, it's on you. You end up in jail, it's on you. And he said, at this, we're handing you the keys to your life back. And I gave my life to Christ in my room without a praise team or a choir or a preacher, because I was faced with the decision that my dad gave me, bro. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment, man. That's one of the first, if not the first time I heard the voice of God. And he said, you can't serve two masters. It's either your desires or the dreams that I have for you. But we can't keep running after your desires and my dreams at the same time. The two cancel each other out. You got to choose. And so that's what I had to do, bro. And I chose Christ.
That's great. Now, how did your life change after that moment?
Oh, man, I immediately was directed towards a local church. A friend of mine was going to a mega church, and I started pursuing the dreams that God had for me. I started to become, you know, a disciple, got into a local church, and bro, my life changed. I got into a work study program, and they put me in the media department. And so every day after math class in 12th grade, I would go to this ministry. And I would literally watch sermons all day long because it was the media department, sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon of this pastor. And bro, this went on for a year. And so I had heard and learned so much about the faith and about Jesus and about this. And my life changed. The next time that I went back to school for real, I was just a different man. And people didn't even recognize me. They were like, who is, you know, you're baby Jesus now. Before you, I mean, they knew about the suspension. They were like, wait a minute, who is this guy? Look at what God can do when he puts his hands on somebody and they surrender to him. And bro, it just led to further discipleship, mentor after mentor after mentor, and a continuous decision, not based on the fact that I was perfect, because I wasn't, but a continuous decision to follow after God in spite of me. So it was your normal, not normal, but your typical sanctification process.
Your typical sanctification process. I don't think there is a typical sanctification process. I think God takes everybody on their own journey with that, and it's an uphill battle for sure, but yeah. It's one worth taking, definitely. So, Sam, we had the opportunity to talk on Friday in preparation for the Monday program, and so you and I connected just to do a test Skype to make sure all the technical things were set up. So after that, I was like, man, this is going to be a great show. I can't wait. I started telling people, you got to see Hope Today on Monday. Sam's story is going to be awesome. Well, I'm at a campfire with some friends that night. And I find out from one of the guys that I'm talking with that he knows you as well, because you actually come up to Pittsburgh, and I didn't even know this until he told me, but you come up to Pittsburgh pretty frequently and you speak at Amplified Church. It's like a Hillsong church kind of thing. It's a great worship, powerful word. But Jack and I were talking, and I was just like, you can't be talking about the same Sam Collier. And I was just like, man, this is the kingdom of God makes this world so small. I mean, it's crazy. But he told me an interesting story about how you got involved with what they were doing. Can you tell us about that and the connection that God's made with you guys?
Yeah, man, I actually got connected to them because of all of the racial unrest that was happening about maybe 3 years ago when the white cop got shot in Dallas. Mm. And white churches all around America, and I say white churches just because predominantly white churches all around America started asking the question, you know, what is our responsibility during this time? And the pastor of Amplify now, Jason Howard, I met him on a tour called Orange Tour. Before Jason was the pastor, Lee was the pastor. And he recently passed it to Jason. And I just met Jason backstage and we started talking about race. And he was like, hey, what are you doing right now? I'm like, I got to go to the airport. And he's like, get in the car, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay. And from Amplify to the airport, he asked me every question about race that he had. And we just started to wrestle. We became really good friends. And over the next 2 years, he would call me and we would just discuss the current climate of America. And within that time, the Lord really started to press upon my heart the passion and the desire and the purpose to preach more on Sunday mornings in different ministries. And the Lord told me he would show me where he wanted me to go. And I ran into Jason's profile one day as I was just going down my phone, and the Lord spoke to me about him. And I called Jason. I said, hey, Jason, this is weird. I'm at North Point with Andy Stanley and I'm going to stay there. But is there any way I can serve you guys in a teaching capacity if you guys need it? He was just like, what? I mean, you're at North Point. I mean, what are you, you know, 40,000 member. I said, I just feel the Lord calling me to sow into a ministry and a teaching capacity in a greater way. And Jason said, of course. And I was blown away. He's like, let's have you come up every other month. And I built this wild relationship, or should I say the Lord built this wild relationship with Amplified Church, where it became family to me. And me and Jason became like best friends. And together we just started to experiment with the Spirit of God and to explore the different aspects of him that we had not normally explored within kind of those latter church years. And then anytime there would be an issue on race, we would wrestle with it from the platform. So we talked about some of everything, and Amplify really became family.
That's really cool. I've seen some of those. I didn't put it together until I was talking with Jack, and I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I've seen Sam talking with Jason and normally somebody else there is too. And I just think those are the types of conversations that really do bring healing, and they do bring change, and they do bring perspective. And as we align ourselves with God's perspective by listening to other people, by listening to the word of God being spoken in truth and love, then we're going to see this nation changed around. We're going to see this world changed around. Because, Sam, when I look at you, I don't look at your skin as much, and I judge you because of that. I look at your skin and think, you got a beautiful complexion, and you're a great-looking guy.
Thank you.
But, you know, I look and I see your smile. I see the love of Jesus on you. And I think that's how we need to be looking at each other. For me, identity is a huge deal. Because I believe firmly that if we believe that we are who God says we are, then it's just a natural outpouring that we're going to believe that this person that we're looking at is who God says that they are. And they have identity, and they have value, and they have worth. But if we don't believe in God, we don't believe in God's identity for ourselves, and we don't accept that, then the only way that we can feel better about ourselves is by pushing other people down. Mm. And that's not kingdom. Kingdom is you lift me up, I lift you up, and together we go up. So I just love that you and Jason are doing that, and you're seeing God do some amazing things, especially in this area of racial reconciliation, because yeah. I'm a white guy. I can only speak on behalf of white people, but you as an African-American guy, you can speak and you can bring a different perspective, but together we can find God's perspective in that.
Wow, bro. It's so true, man. I think we're living in one of the greatest periods in my lifetime in which we've never been more postured for social change and racial healing than we are right now. And I think that it's because we're finally starting to listen to each other. I hate the means in which we got here.
Right.
Right. There was a ton of rioting and protests, and I'm for protests, peaceful mm-hmm. protests that help sit, you know, have a conversation, but obviously we don't condone violence. But within all of that, you know, I hate the way we got here, but I'm glad we got here to where we're right. now finally going, you know, I want to understand your perspective. I want to see what you see. I think on both sides, you know, I often say that I think my African-American friends, most of them were kind of not necessarily involved in the white community, are now going based on that conversation, oh, the majority of white people didn't even understand or know what Black people were dealing with. It wasn't that we didn't care. It was that we had no idea. Now that we're realizing this, help us understand how we can help change it. And then on the white side, they're going, oh, wait a minute. There's a lot of things I didn't know. You mean Black people aren't just making this up? They're not crazy, right? You know, they're not lazy, right? And so with all of that being said, man, we're just finally starting to speak in a language in which each other can understand. And as a result of that, I'm seeing the world change all around me. And I think as we stay committed to it, we will see the world become different than how it is now.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we need to unite under the banner of Jesus Christ, because if we unite under anything else, I feel like we're kind of on that razor's edge right now,
yeah.
where we could go on a really good direction and we can find healing, we can find unity, we can find love, or it can tip the other direction and there yeah. can be even, it can be even a worse issue. And I don't want that. I want to be united with my brothers and sisters under the banner of Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that is going to really bring unity and peace in our lives.
100%.
So Sam, I know that you got to get going. You got a lot of press to do. We're going to get your book out there. I'll ask you to share about how people can
Thank
get
you,
that.
Bro.
But yeah. I got to hear the answer to these couple of questions before, you know,
Come
for
on.
This to be a real episode. What has happened in your life that has showed you that Jesus was walking with you, but you didn't realize it in the moment, but you look back and you see he was right there. I just didn't see it.
Wow, bro. I think that's happened so many times in my life. It doesn't make sense. I think that one of the biggest things is, and I maybe I would phrase it as just, I just didn't see him, or it was punctuated long before. Bro, I think the idea of meeting my biological family and learning that sometimes my family went 4 days without eating because they were so poor. Hearing and understanding that the men in my family, you know, either they're drug dealers or they've been to prison or they're dead. My grandfather died in prison about 5 years ago, double life sentence for double homicide. I think hearing that about my family really helps me understand even much more why God would have us be given up for adoption and then be adopted. I believe he wanted to interrupt our bloodline, and there was no way that he could have done that had he not pulled us out. So I think just learning those details, bro, I was able to see, wait a minute. I knew that you were with me, but I didn't realize how much
right.
you were with me. I didn't realize how much you were rewriting the story and launching me out. It was just incredible, bro. And I think the other thing is, you know, for a very long time, music was what I felt my purpose was. I thought I was going to be the Christian version of Usher, and we don't need to talk about that.
I really want to, but we don't have time for that right now.
You know, I had the moves, I did the Usher walk, I had the worm. I mean, and God asked me for music one day, and it was a very emotional process. And, you know, I've been all over, and I write a lot about this in the book about my music escapades of how I'd been to Canada and Motown and Universal and the top of the industry. But God continuously closed every one of those doors in an abnormal way. It wasn't the music. It wasn't me. It was just timing was off for every organization. And after that happens about four times around the world, you're just like, okay, God, I think you're trying to get a message to me. And I remember being in Pasadena, California, walking down the street, confused, going, God, where are you at? And I just said to him, seems like you want me to be open for whatever you want to do, even if that means putting music down. Had music become an idol to me, I felt God was asking me. And he asked me for it. And it was in Pasadena that I lifted my hands and I said, God, whatever you want me to be is what I'll be. I don't have to be Christian Usher. I don't have to sing. I just want to be where you are. And from that, he introduced me to ministry. I never thought I would be in ministry, ever. At the time, I was just going, okay, guess God just don't want me to. But he was trying to get me on the path that he had created for me to be on. You asked the question just about, you know, how, what are the moments in your life where you see God do something that you never thought he was going to do, or you didn't see him working in your life? Those are some of the biggest moments for me.
Right, right. So Sam, as we're wrapping up here, the last question that I'm going to ask you before we get you to plug your book, if you could go back in time and talk to younger Sam, you know, when you're 14, 15, 16, eight, yeah, whatever it is, what advice would you give yourself and what's going on in that season of life? Like, kind of paint that scene for me. What's happening that you would want to speak this advice to yourself?
Yeah, man. You know, when I was younger, I knew about Jesus, but I really didn't know. I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't really understand the revelation of Christ. We went to church and we were in children's church, right? But I really didn't understand that God had a plan for me. I think I heard it, but I didn't understand it. If I could go back, I would tell my younger self, God is real. He's big and he has some great things planned for you. And so believe in yourself. Believe that he can do great things through you. Believe that God is for you and start right now pursuing that great thing. I think I would tell myself that because when I was younger, I knew that it didn't matter what age you were, you could do great things. But I don't know that I really moved in it or moved like I believed it. It was a thought, a possibility, but I didn't know if it could really be a reality. And I didn't really know that God had a phenomenal plan for me. I heard it, but I had not received it. And I think had I received it, my confidence would have been greater. I would have moved with more intentionality. I would have protected myself from some of the pitfalls and the pornography and all these things that I was exposed to just being over a friend's house. I would have done so many things different just with the revelation of Christ. God is real. And if he is real, or that because he's real, he has great things for me that he wants to do if I surrender. We're back to that surrender word.
Yep, yep.
If I give it to him, he will do amazing things.
Amen. Amen. Well, Sam, you just laid out the great steps on how people can have a greater story of their own. But yeah, I want to make sure that I give you an opportunity to have you tell them how they can get your a greater story.
Yes, please. Listen, it took us 3 years to write this book. We wrote it for you. We didn't write it for me. We wrote it for you because we want you to see how God can take a mess and turn it into a miracle. We want you to be inspired. If he can do that in my life, he can do it in yours. But the story of mine is just about 40% of the book. We spend another 60% giving some of life's greatest principles that I've learned from mentors. We talk about the idea of what purpose is and how to actually discover what your purpose is and how to surrender so that you can be everything that God wants you to be. One of life's greatest questions is, what? Why am I here? We answer that question for you in the book. If you're in a season where you need purpose more than ever, if you're in a season where you need God to move in spite of the chaos you find yourself in, which we all are because of COVID-19, I want you to get this book because I believe that it'll help you. At the end of the day, when your story connects to God's story, leads to a greater story. We want to help you connect your story to God's. Get it on Amazon. get it on agreaterstory.org, not .com.org today.
Yeah, I'll make sure to put those links in the show notes so that people can just click that and make it real easy. But Sam, I can't wait to talk to you more in the future. I know you're busy. Yes. You got to get going, but I appreciate this time. And Sam, thank you for allowing me to join you along your way.
John!
Did my microphone die or something?
No, I just screamed.
Oh, you just screamed. Okay. Okay, good. As Sam and I talked about his along the way journey, I loved how a big part of Sam's purpose in life is helping people connect their story to God's story to become a greater story. Sam's along the way journey is pretty incredible, and it's amazing how God intervened in his life. And from even before he was born, it is easy to see that God had a greater purpose for him. He had to choose, and still chooses every day, to walk in the fullness of God's story. God has a greater story for you, too. I challenge you to take the first step and ask God to connect your story to his story. You can do that by making a decision to ask for help and Jesus to be the forgiver of your past and to become the leader into your future. We've all made mistakes, and that's what the Bible calls sin. Sin is rebellion towards God and his plan for our lives. When we reject God and we do things on our own, we write ourselves out of God's story. But he is always ready to bring us back into his greater story. Right now, if you want to take that first step to have God rewrite your story for you, then please pray with me. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner and I've tried so hard to do things on my own, but I have failed time and time again. I say right now, I turn over the control of my life to you, Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you were raised back to life and you live today. Jesus, I love you and I accept the purpose that you have for my life. Help me to live for you from now on. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I would love to hear from you. And if you email me at johnalongtheway@gmail.com, I will do what I can to help you with your next step. I am grateful that my Along the Way story now includes Sam Collier. And if you want to know more about him, I'll be providing his links in the show notes. Thank you for listening to Along the Way. If you've enjoyed joining me along my way, please share this with a friend who you think will be encouraged by this podcast. Also, please rate and review Along the Way on iTunes. That helps more people discover Along the Way. And subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening. And you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and at my website, alongtheway.media. I hope that you've enjoyed this part of my journey, and may you realize when Jesus is walking with you along your way.